Welcome back. Absolute pleasure for us to welcome into the huddle Rodney Orm. He's a founder and editor of TiderInsider.com. Rodney, welcome in. Happy Wednesday to you. How are you?
Doing well, Harold. How are you?
Man, we're doing all right. Was Tuscaloosa able to survive the invasion of Charlie Barkley last night, Rodney?
Yeah, I heard about that. You know, I think he's a big Nick Saban fan and has been. Mm-hmm. And so I found that really interesting that he came over and spoke. You know, really, I don't know if a lot of your listeners may not know this. Charles Barkley was a huge Alabama fan growing up. Mm-hmm. And really always dreamed of playing for Alabama. Sorry for those Auburn fans out there, but that's the truth. But to Auburn's good fortune, he ended up playing there and has been quite a character through the years. But you know, again, that's interesting. I wish I could have heard that speech. Don't you, Harold?
Yeah, I do, because here's the bottom line, folks. And are you kidding? Are you drinking? It's midday. No, it's a true thing, and it's one of those motivational things. And one of the things, the reason that Charlie likes Nick, according to the records we're getting, folks, don't shoot the messenger here, is, as Charlie puts it, he likes the way Nick gives, and these are his words, black people a second chance. Has a history of that, and Charlie, you can love him or you can hate him, Rodney, but he doesn't hide his feelings. Whatever he thinks, he says, and sometimes that makes Auburn people happy, and sometimes it makes them sad. But I thought that was an interesting take by Charlie, and one of the things that he likes about Nick, not the winning, but basically how he treats people in many cases, especially when the odds are against him.
Yeah, I think so. And like you said, Barkley is one of those guys that obviously speaks his mind the way he really feels and doesn't really put a lot of, he doesn't sugarcoat things at all. But, yeah, like I said, I think it's probably, I understand they've had some other interesting speakers as well. I'm not sure that those have been confirmed, but if true, supposedly Ryan Leaf even spoke to the team. Now, again, was posted on Tider Insider, so I think that would be that would also have probably been a very interesting. I'm sure he's got a good tale to tell. Wow. You know, he played for Mike Price at Washington State. Can you imagine?
Right. Yeah, and a guy who was in the running with Peyton Manning to be the number one draft pick, if you remember. So, but never he had all the he was all world talent, but never could get his life on track. And sometimes those are the best stories to bring kids in who've been there and done that when it wasn't always a Sunday school upbringing. And you know, I'm sure Nick that's not missed on him either. But Rodney, let's talk a little bit about this team this year. And we just got done talking with Kevin Skarbinski. And one of the questions we asked him, Rodney, is was it real or perceived, the gap between Alabama and the rest of the SEC? And the way Kevin put it, as he can so well do, he's a wordsmith there at AL.com, didn't win all those awards for nothing. He said, just think of it in terms of the Grand Canyon. Alabama's up here on the top, and you look down the canyon, that's the rest of the SEC. Is in your opinion, is that a fair analogy?
Well, I think it is in some way, but I'll also say this, that gap can shrink mighty quickly. Mm-hmm. You know, I think probably in 2010 there was a lot of feeling that there was a huge gap as well, and guess what? The other team on the other side of the state was the team that ran the table that year.
Right.
And, you know, one player made a huge difference for them. Mm-hmm. So obviously gaps can be closed quickly. But I think right now Nick Saban is pretty much dominating the SEC, has dominated the SEC, and the gap is there. Like maybe, might go back to the 70s. Now, Spurrier had a pretty nice run, but, and I'm not sure Alabama, Tennessee threatened him a little bit. Alabama obviously beat him only once. Mm-hmm. But, it's pretty significant right now, I think, Harold. But again, I think you have to be careful with that.
Rodney Orr, TiderInsider.com. It's interesting that you bring up that 2010 season, because on paper that was a team that was supposed to smoke and roll through things. But your thoughts, is Jarrett Stidham the man now to help close that gap for the Auburn Tigers between these two teams?
Well, I think that, again, here's my feeling. I don't think he's Cam Newton. Very few that are.
Right.
I think obviously they've got a really good defense, talented defense. Kevin Steele did a nice job with them last year. They're expected to be good again this year. Stidham may be the guy. I really don't know. I know he was an outstanding high school player in Texas. He came here and camped at Alabama. He was an outstanding athlete because he was a receiver up until, I think, his senior year in high school. And I'm interested in seeing them. Listen, I think they got a, I know we're not here to talk about Auburn, but I think they've got a legitimate shot to beat Clemson. And people say, nah, I don't. Well, I'm not so sure. That's going to be real interesting to me.
As you mentioned, Rodney, we're here to talk about Alabama. Let's do just that. They're through one scrimmage, got another one coming up. We'll talk about that one. But first, let's take a sneak peek back in the rearview mirror. Now that Alabama's been through their first scrimmage and almost halfway, right at the halfway mark in camp, your thoughts so far with this team?
Well, Harold, you know, you go in not – in some ways, you're expecting to see much of the same, and we have athletically and, you know, just the size of these guys and all this. But right now, I feel a little bit better, to be honest with you. I had a few questions maybe about the defense. I'm not saying anything's proven completely through one scrimmage. Let me be clear. Like I said, I feel better about where they are, I think, based on the things I'm hearing. On the defense, I think Carl Dunbar is doing a fantastic job with this defensive line, developing some of the younger players. I think that's important because we were talking about the depth, possibly depth issues on the defensive line. It looks like some of those guys that are really young are coming along very well. The linebackers, Rashawn Evans, I mean, this guy, if he carries it over into the season, you know, he said 6 months ago his goal was to win the Buskus, and I'm not going to say he won't quit do it. His camp is indicating anything. He's going to be really good. Sean Deion Hamilton looks like he's back to close to 100%. If not 100%, he's moving well. They've got some very impressive young inside linebackers. I mean, let me mention Keith Holcomb. Of course, he's doing a nice job. He's back from shoulder surgery. But, you know, when you talk about Mac Wilson, Dylan Moses, Markell Benton, those are three very impressive young inside linebackers. Wilson, a sophomore, the other two freshmen. Outside, Amper Jennings is a very impressive sophomore. Same for Terrell Lewis. I think that, formerly Terrell Hall, by the way. And then also Christian Miller. Christian Miller, you know, he's kind of like Rashawn Evans. Came in that same class. They were the top two outside linebackers in the country that year. And Christian Miller had a big scrimmage on Saturday, from all indications. He gave Jonah Williams all he could handle, you know, coming off that edge as a pass rusher. He came here at 205 pounds. He's now about 245. I think he's ready to take that next step. So a lot of those things are starting to come into, you know, focus a little bit more. I think they're extremely fast on defense. I think Trevon Diggs is doing a very, very nice job at that left corner spot. Now, they could slide Mink over there if they decided they want a little bit more experience, Harold, for this opener against Florida State. But right now, I think Trevon Diggs they're very pleased with his potential. So I think defensively, when you look at it, I'm more encouraged. Offense, you know, sometimes early in summer camp, August camp, they're behind the defense. That's really the way you want it to be. And I think they're going to be fine offensively. They just got to shore up that offensive line. That's something they're still working on, especially the right side.
Let's talk a little bit more about that, if you don't mind, Rodney. Let's put our money down right now. Matt Womack, barring some unforeseen occurrence, is going to be the starter on that side. But moving in two or three games, how much will those true freshmen be pushing Womack for significant playing time?
Yeah, that's what's going to be interesting. Womack has done a very nice job since the spring. He's a blue-collar guy, great work ethic, a power blocker. You know, when he locks on in the run game, he's pretty good. Now, the issue might be with the speed rusher, Harold. You know, we'll see there. The two young guys you mentioned, Alex Leatherwood and Jedrick Wills, both true freshmen, have worked at that spot. Leatherwood's also working some at left tackle. It would not surprise me that this position would not roll into the second or third game, as you mentioned. You know, we may not know for sure who's the guy until then. You know, they've made some changes before. You remember last year, Corin Kervin kind of bumped off Lester Cotton at right guard, and Lester's going to hopefully reclaim that spot now. It looks like he has for this season with Kervin now gone. But, again, I think it could roll in that right tackle spot, could roll into the second, third game of the season before we kind of get a real idea, you know, maybe which direction they're going to go permanently.
Get the inside story when it comes to Alabama with Rodney. Rodney Orr, the founder and editor of TiderInsider.com. Rodney, a friend of the show, Curly Hallman, former head coach at LSU, and had a fellow by the name of Brett Favre, and He's the head coach at Southern Miss, now lives in the Shoals. We were talking the other day, and he was talking about some of the guys on this team, on this roster. And Tony Brown's name came up. And as Curly put it, Tony's not the fastest football player in the SEC. He's the fastest college football player in the world with his speed. There's never been a question about Tony Brown's athleticism coming out of your home state of Texas. It's always been between the ears, not between the hash marks. Your thoughts? It's money season for Tony Brown. He does good, as they say. He can cash out, make a lot of money at the next level. Your thoughts about a guy who was talked a whole lot about coming out of high school and since then has not been talked a whole lot about in a flattering way on the field, but what about this season?
Yeah, I think Tony has great potential. I mean, you know, he's a tremendous player out of Beaumont, Texas, coming out. As you mentioned, I think he ran a 10.17 back in the spring. And I'm sorry, this is not somebody handheld time or anything. This was in a meet for Alabama. So, wow, incredible speed. Very gifted player. I don't think there's any question about that. I think one of Tony's biggest problems, I think, has been just handling his emotions, you know, staying on an even keel, which I think he's grown a lot in that area from all indications, things that we've heard over the last 4 years. So, you know, I think Tony is Tony's primed to have a really good year. And I, you know, the thing about it is, really just watching camp, he has not budged since the spring in terms of being at that star position. So it looks to me like Nick Saban's very confident in Tony Brown right now playing that star position.
Rodney, we know you get tired of hearing it, but it's going to be a significant question going forward. Your thoughts about Jalen Hurts? We know last year for a guy who won the SEC's Offensive Player of the Year, it's like everybody was throwing darts at him. Had a lot of question marks, even through spring drills. What we're hearing is he's a different Jalen Hurts. What are you hearing?
Well, first of all, you know, that's part of being the Alabama quarterback. You're going to, no matter how well you do, you're going to have darts thrown at you. That's just part of it. If you can handle it, then that tells you a lot about that young kid, and he handled it last year brilliantly, in my opinion, masterfully. Did a fantastic job. I've never seen a true freshman quarterback, certainly not at Alabama, that handled it any better. And I think that he understands that nobody wanted to get improved more than he did. He's an extreme competitor. He's worked very hard. And I think, you know, all indications are he's done a really nice job. For example, in the scrimmage, I know that they turned the defense loose on those quarterbacks. You know, he was under extreme pressure, and he handled it really well. He got rid of the ball. He threw the ball away, pulled it down and ran it. In other words, he didn't just turn the ball over, you know, and I think that may be the biggest area where he might be growing in that regard. I know he's worked really hard and diligently on his passing, and I think, too, Brian Daboll's going to do a really nice job of preparing him game by game, week by week, as they get into what they're going to do. And, you know, but you just got to be honest when you're talking about this overall situation. I don't think Lane Kiffin helped him the last half of last season.
No.
You know, coaching him or whatever it might have been, very, very difficult on a young kid. It's amazing to me, based on the stories I've heard, what Alabama really accomplished or what he accomplished given that situation.
Yeah, I think Boca Raton was the top of the list for laying down the stretch there. First scrimmage in the books, second scrimmage coming up. Rodney, what's Nick wanting to accomplish this weekend?
Well, I think offensively, really, they want to start becoming consistent, a little bit more cohesive. As Nick Saban said, let's get into a rhythm, so to speak. So I think that's going to be important. That's going to be one of the big focuses, not, you know, protect the football, shore up that right side, continue to shore up that right side of the offensive line, improve the pass protection a little bit. Let's all get on the same page in the passing game. I think all of those things are important. I mean, obviously, Josh Jacobs, we need to get him healthy. With that pulled hamstring. Najee seems to be okay now since he set out with a pulled hamstring. Defensively, you know, I just think that they need to continue to get all these young guys reps. I think because based on what, you know, we hear from, you know, they have work to do, but based on what we heard from Saturday's scrimmage, you know, this is a pretty focused side of the football. Now, let's say this before we check out of here, Harold. Let's not forget the place kicking. This might be the big question right here.
Yep.
You know, what are they going to do with place kicking? They struggled Saturday. They've got to find somebody. You know, a lot of people complain about Adam Griffith's inconsistencies over the last few years. You might wish you had him back because they have struggled kicking, place kicking so far. Let's not forget they have a new snapper, new holder, new place kicker. All the timing, it's got to be kind of meshed together. But they've got to find somebody that can put it between the uprights from 40 yards consistently.
And as they march it down, you've got it all covered, Rodney. Where can we get more with you online?
TighterInsider.com. It's only $48 a year, and you get instant access there with a credit card or a check, however you want to pay. Gives you access to all the premium information on the front page, as well as our forums here with the constant flow. And let me mention a new, if you don't mind, a new item that we're now providing. We have a podcast now with Scott Griffin. That we're going to run weekly. We had there's a 39-minute podcast on the front page. You can scroll down. It's the first scrimmage analysis, and we kind of go through the entire scrimmage. And that's going to be a weekly presentation that we're going to provide, and it's for free for your listeners out there if they want to go listen to it right now.
The perfect price. Rodney, as always, good to catch up. Thank you so much, and have a good rest of the week, buddy.
Appreciate it. Take care, Harold.
That's Rodney Orr, the founder and editor of TighterInsider.com.